So, first of all, why is now the time for Boris Johnson to resign?
Well, I'd held off calling for Boris Johnson's resignation because I was waiting for this inquiry by Sue Gray, the senior civil servant who's been asked to look into his case. But then we saw this email, which basically shows there was a party at number 10 Downing Street that broke the rules, that the Prime Minister's private office had sanctioned that party, and clear evidence that the Prime Minister went to that party. That means he broke the law, which is extraordinarily serious. It means he lied to Parliament, he lied to the country. These are really grievous mistakes and errors, and I think the only course is for the Prime Minister to resign, and I'm just shocked that he's not yet resigned.
Do you accept what he said in his apology yesterday, how he was only there for 25 minutes and then went back inside?
No, I don't. It's not a question whether he was there for 25 minutes or not. It was the fact that the person who sets the rules for the rest of us and expects the rest of us to adhere to was in clear and obvious breach of those rules. You know, you don't allow from your office an email to go out to 100 people which says bring your own booze. Now that's a party, and the Prime Minister's attempt to turn it into some sort of work meeting I think is both ridiculous, see-through, and people would just be laughing at the Prime Minister as well as being quite angry. I mean, I have to tell you, I've had constituents write to me, and there's a constituent, a neighbour, I'll call you Andrew, who, when he heard the news there was a party at 10 Downing Street, he said, I hope it wasn't on the 20th of May. And this Serbs and resident, the reason he didn't want it on the 20th of May was because that was the day of his dad's funeral. And he is extremely, obviously, emotional, upset, and quite angry that he now realises when he was saying goodbye to his father, the Prime Minister was allowing an illegal party and attending a legal party at number 10 Downing Street.
You're calling for the Prime Minister to be interviewed by the Metropolitan Police on this matter. And it was only in September when you were calling for Cressida Dick to resign. Do you have confidence in an investigation by the Met Police into this matter?
Well, the Met Police are the body that would investigate this, and that's why I've called upon them to do so. You know, the issue around Cressida Dick was about the fact that there'd been this peaceful vigil, really by women, to protest against violence against women, and the way it's policed, I thought, was outrageous, and that's what prompted that call. But I have to accept that she remains in position. The Prime Minister supported her, but she is the senior police officer with the responsibility for making decisions about this investigation. It seems to me clear-cut, though. We now have evidence that the law was broken, that the Prime Minister broke the law. There are 6,500 people across the country who receive fines from the police for breaking lockdown rules. I don't see why the Prime Minister should be above the law.
You have referred yourself to the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards in relation to an oversight in relation to your finances. Could you tell us a bit more about what that means and why you referred yourself, please?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to have a quick chat about this. I mean, it wasn't to do with my finances, actually. It was a clerical error, and I decided myself to refer myself to the commissioner after I noticed this clerical oversight. The commissioner is independent of MPs, independent of Parliament, and so I respect her and her office to show that this clerical error was what it was. Now, commissioner's asked me not to talk about this until her investigation is cleared up, and that's, for me, actually quite deeply frustrating because I'd like to tell you all about it. But I'm totally respectful of the commissioner, and so I will do what she's asked me to do, which is not comment until after her investigation is finished. As soon as she's finished, by the way, I'm happy to come onto your programme and discuss it in detail.
Do you know roughly when her investigation might conclude?
Hopefully it's quite soon, but I can't tell. She's independent.
That's fair enough. You're calling on the Prime Minister to give farmers more help over worries they'll go bankrupt because of a mixture of the pandemic and Brexit. What help would you suggest?
Well, what's happening for farmers across the country is there was a scheme to support them before when we were in the EU, and that's being phased out, and a new scheme is being phased in. The problem is the old scheme is being phased out before the new scheme is in. So farmers across the country are seeing a period of years when their income will be dramatically reduced through no fault of their own, but through government action. And just last December, every farmer lost at least 5% of their income overnight. And I just think that's unfair. Now, I don't represent a constituency with a huge number of farms. We have actually five farms in Chessington. So it's not a massive issue, but it does affect everybody, every constituent of mine, because it's about the food supply for our country. It's about our countryside. And therefore, I felt it was right to defend British agriculture. I'm worried about the lack of incomes. I'm also worried about the trade deals that the Prime Minister is pursuing, because I think they will harm British farming and actually animal welfare standards.
Have you spoken to these farms in Chessington? Have you heard anything about how they might react to the pandemic and Brexit?
I haven't actually, but that's primarily because they're not dramatically affected. The farms that are going to be really affected are the farms in the big rural areas. I mean, I'm very happy to speak to our five farms, but the real issue is the whole of UK agriculture, and that's what worries me. And on behalf of everybody who, you know, who works in the food industry across the country, that over a million people, and also consumers, you know, every listener could be impacted by this if the Conservatives continue to undermine British farming.
Moving on to the subject of Tony Blair's knighthood, you say that it's disrespectful towards the Queen for people to suggest that he shouldn't have one. At this point, more than a million people have signed a petition saying that he should be stripped of it due to his involvement in the Iraq war. Do you stand by your comments?
Listen, I was very critical of Tony Blair and the Labour Party over the Iraq war. I voted against the Iraq war. I campaigned against the Iraq war. So my position on that issue is clearer. But listen, it is actually quite normal for former prime ministers to be knighted. Tony Blair actually won three elections. And while I don't agree with a number of things he did, I think when the Queen just makes this decision, I actually think people should respect that. And I know how emotional people are about the Iraq war, because I am and was too. But I think people need to see this as a sort of standard thing that is quite normal. And I do think respect the Queen.
The Kingfisher Leisure Centre is due to be bulldozed, and the plans have gone out for consultation. Have you heard any more about this from your constituents?
Well, yeah, I think that many people are very excited, actually. The problem was this: the Kingfisher should have been repaired, but the last Conservative Council failed to act on reports that it needed repairs, and then the roof started falling in. Initially, it was felt that there would be relatively cheap to repair, and then further investigation showed it was going to be extremely expensive and long to repair. And given the Kingfisher was quite outdated, really quite poor in many of its facilities, the council took the decision that it should be replaced with a, you know, cutting edge, very exciting proposals. They've now gone through three public consultations. Over 4,000 people have got engaged with those public consultations, which is huge by normal standards, and it may actually now be higher after the third consultation. So I think I'm seeing a real positive response to this really exciting plan. I mean, the challenge is, of course, that we're out. We don't have a pool for a period while these plans are put in place. And speaking as someone who likes swimming and takes my family swimming, that is frustrating. And I really understand people wanting the pool as soon as possible. So do I. But having really great swimming and leisure facilities in Kingston, much better than we've had before, far more accessible, far more sustainable, I think this is absolutely the way forward.
Do you believe that Caroline Kerr resigned over planning issues in the borough?
No, I know she didn't. Caroline was an amazing leader of the council and shepherded it through an extremely stressful and difficult time during COVID. She took over right at the beginning of COVID and worked tirelessly to make sure the council was working with the health service, with the voluntary sector, with the care homes, with the public, to make sure Kingston had a brilliant response, particularly to the most vulnerable in our community. And it should be noted that Kingston has been praised as one of the best councils for the response to COVID. So I think Caroline deserves some huge credit. And I think she was just quite tired after the amount of work she put in. She worked hard. She didn't party.